Thanks for tuning into Conversations About Meaningful Things, the podcast where we dig into life, faith, and all the important questions. In a world that can feel isolating sometimes, we want to encourage you that you're not alone, that God loves you and isn't afraid of your questions. And that's the purpose of this podcast. In our time together, you can expect real talk, genuine interviews, and probably a few laughs along the way. Our hope is as you connect, you feel seen, loved, and encouraged as you take steps in your faith journey. So settle in and let's dive into the conversation. We're so happy to have you along. Hello and welcome to another episode of Conversations About Meaningful Things. I am so glad that you are joining us today, and I'm joined today with my two good friends, Brian.
How's it going?
What's up, Brian?
Oh, you know, tired.
Yeah.
Like normal. Like normal.
Welcome.
Our baby.
To our world.
Is it still kind of as newborn if she's 8 months old at this point?
You're close. Oh, wait. What's that other voice there?
Oh, hey, guys.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, Steve. I'm here, too.
Also, hi, Steve.
Yeah, I kind of think like the year mark seems to be the thing. Like if you haven't been, if you're not past your first anniversary, you're still honeymooners. Mm. I think if until you're counting in years, not months, I'd say still probably newborn.
Does it also change with how many kids you have? Like that newborn stage, I don't know. It felt longer with the first one.
It's definitely different.
Yeah.
For sure.
And did you notice like you thought your firstborn was still your little child and then the next one came, you're like, oh man.
Yeah, they're huge.
They look so big, and this next one is tiny.
Yeah.
Dude, carrying Alice is our younger one, then Nora. She's turning four very soon. But yeah, wow. when you carry the newborn, put her down and then go to pick up the toddler, you have to like brace yourself.
Yes. You're like, oh, I could have back injuries here.
And then the flip side, carrying a toddler and then picking up the newborn, you're like, this is literally nothing.
Yes.
I feel no weight from this. And she's a chunky baby, but
hope she's not listening.
Just recently,
things you can say about a child that you can't say about.
Recently, cutting her first tooth, we believe. Several nights of the putting her down, and she's just beside herself. She's a pretty chill kid in general, which is really nice. So when things like this happen, it's
like, oh wow,
not the norm.
Yeah. You're in our thoughts and prayers, Brian.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Man. So speaking of kids, it's just funny to me how like pre-kids, and I'm sorry if we're alienating any of our listeners if you don't have kids, but
you
maybe
going?
You know, you have dogs, most of you. I'm also making an assumption here.
There could be cat people out there.
That's true. Or
ferrets,
cats.
Hamsters.
other things that you're responsible for. It's so funny to me though, things that I used to think about people with kids when I didn't have them, like the amount of equipment that one takes with them when you're carting your kid around.
Oh yeah.
Or people that have their kids on leashes. It was so I'm like, I would never do that when I'm a parent. And then it's like,
how many leashes do you have now, Alex?
We've got one for each kid, actually. No, I'm just kidding. We haven't crossed that line. But there have been times
for sure.
The thought has crossed my mind. Oh, my goodness. It's just funny.
Yeah, you respond to needs differently when you're in the middle of them, that's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's easy, right, where you are to look at others and make these judgments on, like, what choices they've made. And you have no idea. I think it's actually a thing that we went to way back. If you remember, Steve, we had, like, a staff retreat.
Yeah.
To Chicago.
I remember that.
And Matt Chandler.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Yes? Steve, is this the one where you like slept in the back seat? Was it just you and Steve?
And Joe.
Oh, and Joe
was also there.
No.
But yes, I did.
Sorry.
Didn't Tina go as well?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yes. No, I was talking about in the car when we drove.
Yeah.
So Matt Chandler. I'm sorry. I just derailed it.
Yeah.
I just remembered you and Joe talking in the front, and I got to just lay out in the back seat while we drove.
That's awesome.
So it's perfect. Anyway, Matt Chandler just brought up a story from his life of also being a dad and coming home and the kids are going nuts and one is just crying out for some fruity chews and he's just like, oh yeah, why not? Just give it to her.
Uh-oh.
And yeah, the wife glaring because he's like, I did not know what had led up to this moment.
Yes.
Where like you don't know what she had to deal with, that she had told the kid, you only get the fruity chews if you do this. And the kid defiantly did not do whatever it was. And like, yeah, it's easy to come into scenarios and observe from a distance and say, I would never. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, that's good advice, Brian, for parents out there. Well, this isn't what we're going to talk about necessarily, but, you know, just a little helpful hint for parents out there when you're coming into the situation where one spouse has been kind of manning the helm of the ship for a while, get the full report before you start making decisions.
Yeah.
But it is easy to look into another situation or look at another person and, you know, feel like you've got everything figured out and make determinations about them or what they've done or not done and, you know, kind of make a judgment call about what's happening there. Sure, that can be easy to do. I think it happens quite a bit, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what we wanted to really focus on.
Yeah.
Judging. This idea of someone being judgmental, someone saying, hey, only God can judge me. What does that actually mean? What does that actually look like? What do they actually mean with that? But is it okay? Is it okay to judge? And if it is, what does that look like? Is there a right way and a wrong way? What's your guys' thoughts on judging people?
I mean, I don't like being judged.
Agreed.
So,
yeah.
You know, I think there's a natural reaction in us to say, who are you? You know, remember as little kids, it was like, who died and made you the boss? Kind of like, who are you to tell me anything? Like, in some ways, I think that's part of our independent nature. Like, I don't want anybody else to tell me anything or have an opinion about me or, you know, feel like they're in a superior position than I am. So I think that's part of how we're made up, and I don't know if that makes it right or wrong, but I think we all kind of bristle at feeling judged.
Yeah, and it's interesting because just as you were talking, this thought came in of like...
You were judging what I was saying?
I was.
Okay.
And this, it's clearly we don't want to be judged negatively, right? Thinking of the kids on the playground saying, "Don't you can't judge me, you can't tell me what to do." It's because you don't want what they're saying, but like really, like you want, like there's someone you probably look up to, whether that's a teacher or a parent, a mentor or whatever, and you do want them to notice when you do something good, and you do want them to pass positive judgment.
Right.
Oh, yeah. You. Like if you were going to compliment me and
I
wouldn't say stop judging me. I'd be like, oh, thanks.
Right. If someone comes up and gives you a good compliment, you don't say, hey, don't judge me.
Right.
You're not allowed.
But they have, right? In order to come to a point to feel like I can give you a compliment, I've evaluated something at some point and determined it was good or positive, and so I'm giving you that compliment. Either that or they're just lying to you.
Yeah. Right.
Which is a whole different issue.
Yes. Entirely. Is lying okay?
Yeah. Okay. So what I hear you guys both saying, and maybe we have to backpedal a second just to get a 30,000 foot view. So, because I feel like there's a distinction that you guys are making, like passing judgment on somebody versus like adequately assessing a situation or a motive. Like, because I think when people say "don't judge me" or they're so judgmental, at least in my mind, a lot of times that I think comes from a place of somebody judged them or a situation without really having all of the pieces, or like you know, the example you gave, Steve, of like they don't know the situation, they don't actually know the person, they're just making judgment calls on them, thinking they know everything about them without actually knowing. Do you think that there's a distinction there, and if so, like, is one okay? Is one not okay? Do we have a precedent in scripture to ever judge somebody?
Yeah.
Is that ever okay?
I think there are distinctives to this topic. You know, what is judgment? What does it look like? Whose spot is it to take?
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of subtleties to that, which probably, you know, I think, you know, Brian, I really like what you had to say there, that we react negatively to it when it's negative, right? Like, we say, oh, who are you to judge me, when someone has said something that we didn't particularly want to hear. Or maybe whether it's right or wrong, whether it's true or not true, right? Sometimes the more truthful it is, the more we bristle at it, because we just thought, I don't need you to tell me what I already know, you know, kind of thing. So I think, you know, I think we just in culture, let's, before we step into the faith arena, I think it's fair to say that in a community culture, in the you know, ebb and flow of human life, it's reasonable to think that we make determinations, or we evaluate each other's behavior, whether it's acceptable or not acceptable. Like, you know, if I walk around, you know, if I go and just punch someone in the face, you know, and you say, hey, you can't punch people in the face, it's not reasonable for me to say, who are you to judge me? Like, well, there's some collective behaviors that we all agree this is the way we function in a civilized society. So I think in that regard, we can make judgments about people's behavior and say, like, that's acceptable or not acceptable. Right. I think that's perfectly legitimate to do. I think we can take that to extremes and not be appropriate with it. But I do think we have that opportunity, and I'll even say responsibility, right? If we're trying to live in community that way, you know, we can't just say everything's a free for all. I don't think that's the right thing. So I do think that's one facet of it, is that we do have the responsibility to evaluate behavior, and is that acceptable or not acceptable? And then we have to talk about what are the standards for that. But I do think, you know, there's some general, yes, it's okay to make judgment calls about if somebody's functioning in a way that's acceptable or not acceptable.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very similar to when we talked about pride. We're kind of limited by our English language a bit with judging, because there's judging, there's like judgmental, there's judgment calls, and yeah, what I'm hearing you say, Steve, is we all make judgment calls all the time. That's like how we live our lives.
That's how our brains work.
Yeah. We look at the world and say, okay, I feel safe about this, I don't feel safe about this, whatever, and then we make decisions based on that. So inherently we all do have that judgment part of our brain to do that. And then going off of what you were saying, Alex, that the problem arises when we take that and start to define a person by what we've seen without getting the full picture.
But then
also still, like, when we see the things of, hey, this was really bad, like your kid being on a leash sometimes is actually a really good idea if they're prone to be running away.
Let me suggest a distinction here. You can tell me if I'm onto something or not, but maybe the distinction is there's a difference between passing judgment and passing condemnation. One may lead to the other, and I think that's really where we're going off in, you know, territory we shouldn't go, is when we're condemning another person.
Yes.
I think judgment is, maybe I'll use the word evaluation. You know, if we're just kind of evaluating what we observe, I think that's okay. But when that leads to condemnation of the person, especially when it goes to things that are unseen, like, you know, if I, you know, smack Brian in the face, and
please don't.
I won't.
Okay.
I mean, you know, thank you. Alex, you would be right to say, hey, you shouldn't do that. Like, but
don't judge me, Alex.
Don't judge me, Alex. Who are you to judge me? But maybe if you say, like, hey, why do you have so much hatred for Brian in your heart? Like, that's a different thing, right?
Sure.
Now you're looking, you're making judgments about things that are unseen, which you may not be accurate about.
Yeah.
And And so I think maybe there's a distinction in my mind between just evaluating observable data, so to speak, and trying to pass judgment or condemn the things that are unseen, condemning a person's heart or their motives or their mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And do you think that that's why I'm just trying to think through just even the perspective of somebody who doesn't walk with Jesus, somebody that doesn't have a context at all. I mean, sadly, we look at it in the landscape, and I think a lot of times we see Christians condemning, passing judgment, or, you know, putting the gavel down towards people that aren't walking with Christ, don't know Jesus. They're getting that, and maybe speak to that for a second. Like, how do you navigate those relationships? Do we have a responsibility as believers to call out sin in people's lives that aren't following Jesus, or is that more from believer to believer? I sense we do have a responsibility to call that out, right? If you're a brother in Christ, you're walking a path that's straying you from the faith. Like, I have a responsibility. Scripture talks about that.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think James talks about that very specifically, that to bring a sinner back from their sin,
right?
You know,
but what about the other side?
So, you know, I think that's a fair question, and I think that a lot of times we as believers don't get it right, if I'm being very blunt.
Totally.
I think we, you know, if it quacks like a duck and walks like a duck, like, what do you expect an unrepentant sinner to do or look like? I mean, why does it shock us when sinners sin? And Christians sin all the time too. So I'm not saying, like, well, if you say you're a Christian, then you don't sin anymore. But so I think there's two balancers that Scripture gives us in dealing with this, right? Mm-hmm. There's truth and there's love. And I think in dealing with sin, you have to have both.
Yes.
If you only have truth and you don't have love, then you're legalistic and condemning. Mm-hmm. If you only have love but don't have truth, then you're giving license and not helping a person deal with the fact that the wages of sin is death.
Right.
So I think, to answer your question, if I can, in a very brief answer, Alex, is how do we approach that as a person of faith, addressing a person who's not necessarily of faith, but we see things that are concerning to us? Yeah. You know, we speak the truth in love. There's got to be both. We have to be willing to say, hey, listen, there's a better way, but we have to do it in a way that the person actually hears it and receives it, even if they don't ultimately make that decision for themselves. At least the presentation can't turn the sound down for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know if that makes sense or not, but no, I think we miss that too much, because as Christians we're like, oh, you're a terrible person. How awful are you?
Right.
And, you know, Jesus didn't do that.
No.
I mean, very rarely do we see that in Scripture. There were times where he said, hey, you're off base.
Yeah.
But most of the time it was an invitation. Hey, let me show you a better way.
Yeah. I wanted to read out of Matthew 7 because it's exactly what you're talking about, Steve, because I think, I've wrestled with how do I appropriately and clearly communicate God's heart for people? Somebody that has no understanding of what God's done for them or God's heart for them, like, to come across and say, like, what you're doing is, you know, you're going to hell, you should, you know, be ashamed of yourself, like that. That only turns that person off even further from the gospel.
Absolutely.
Jesus said in Matthew 7, do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you'll be judged. And with this measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I think in this context, isn't Jesus talking to the religious elite in this conversation? Mm-hmm. Like, it was the guys that, like, they felt like they had the moral high ground to tell everybody else how to live, and yet they themselves weren't even living up to that standard.
Clueless, blinded by their own position and attitude.
I think that sometimes, I mean, I've been in those spots, right, where I've like, I'm struggling with something and then I'm talking to somebody else, this is how you should do this. I'm like, and I haven't even really done what I need to do.
Yeah. And we see that in scripture too. Like David was confronted with his sin in the Old Testament and
right.
it was given to him as a hypothetical, mm-hmm. right? Hey, mm-hmm. what would you do if this happened? Oh, and then the prophet said, well, you're the man. That's you.
Right.
So we see in the mirror sometimes as the last resort.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do this. I'm pretty sure we all do this ourselves with like health and stuff, where we have our opinions and ideas of what we should and shouldn't consume. And we can easily judge what other people are eating and stuff like that. And then we also go to McDonald's and get the double quarter pounder. Yeah, person, go, but yeah, but they don't know what I went through today.
All that person, it's just terrible healthy choices. That's
yeah.
junk. It's garbage. Can mm-hmm. you pass the Twinkies?
Exactly. So, it's different. It's different for me.
So do you guys think, like, I'm just thinking about what Jesus said there is part of this idea of it's, he says with the same judgment that you pass, the same will be given back to you. It's almost this idea of like, God has given us a wisdom. He's given us standards to live by. But before I go and try to look at your life with a microscope and go, oh, you know what? You could do that better. Or I wouldn't do that mm-hmm. if I was you. Like, it's almost like he's saying, are you doing that in your own life? Are you examining your heart before me, making sure you're living your life before you go and do that with somebody else? And I don't know. I almost wonder if like, does that align our hearts with God so we can make judgments in line with him, not yeah. just our own opinions.
Well, it's interesting because one of the subtleties of that teaching that you just read that Jesus makes, and we always think, you know, well, I have to be solid in that area so that I can be in a position to judge that other person. Yeah. Like maybe that's the subtlety of it. But if you look closely at what Jesus said, he said, deal with the thing that's in your own life first mm-hmm. so that you can then go help your brother, yeah. not so that you can then Ooh. Be in a position to pass judgment yeah. on them because you're above it.
Right.
Right. The goal is always when we're evaluating, and if we want to use the word passing judgment, I keep using the word evaluate instead, but yeah. if we're going to be in that position where we're trying to make a call about someone else's life, it should always be for the purpose of helping them
Absolutely.
And benefiting them and building them up. It's not yes. so that we can put them in the spot that we know they should be in so that we can feel superior to them. And so let's not miss that. He says, take the plank out of your own eye so that you can then go help your brother, not so that yeah. you can then go judge your brother. Yeah. It's to help them. That should be our goal.
That's so good.
Yeah. Then you have two sets of eyes that can go help others and even continue to help each other when specs
right.
arise. Yeah. Thinking about the why people hate being judged so much, again, going back to the negative stuff, but are okay with being judged if it's positive. It's that comes from the innate need to be cared about. Mm-hmm. Like we all thinking about saying like, don't judge me is you're really just saying like, I don't care. I don't care what you say mm-hmm. because I'll do me, you do you. But you can say, I don't care. But in reality, we do.
You do.
We care.
That's why you're saying it.
People, right? Yeah. We care what other people think. And that's ingrained in us. And I think it's part of that design that God had because we need to be cared about and we need yeah. to be cared for
yeah.
that we're in this life together. So yeah, we can judge things for that intent of how can I care for you?
Yeah.
And how can I care for myself and then care for each other? And yeah.
Yeah. There's a dynamic of acceptance in that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're judged positively and someone compliments us, we feel like, oh, that's acceptable, right? Yeah. And there's something in all of us that we long for relational acceptance.
Yeah.
You see that all throughout our existence. And someone who passes judgment or condemns, that's a that's an aspect of rejection, right? Mm-hmm. I'm rejecting you. I'm rejecting what you did. I'm rejecting you as a person. And, you know, that's something that we have to contend with in all of that. And that's why if we think about, you know, judging or passing judgment, it's for the purpose of helping, not rejecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah.
So good. I just find it interesting when you guys are talking about that, like the example of Jesus, the few times that he maybe what we could call passing judgment or correction to someone who wasn't a religious leader, who was, you know, the ones with the planks in their eye telling people to get rid of the specs. It's he always connected relationally or met a need, mm-hmm. Like what you guys are talking about, before saying, hey, like, this needs to change, but I think that's what sometimes we miss is we're so quick to, I want to change this about you. I'm noticing this thing without ever taking the time to connect relationally and communicate that, hey, I really care about you, not just the things that you're choosing to do in your life. And that's maybe in our final moments, like, can we talk to just to maybe that person who's like struggling with the, how do I navigate some of these relationships where I don't agree with how these people are living their life, or I don't agree how this person's living. How do we in a God-honoring way pass judgment, so to speak, a way that honors God?
Yeah, and you brought up a great dynamic in that, and that is that Jesus always communicated acceptance of the person before correction of the action.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And do we do that? Because if you are trying to correct the action before accepting the person, it's never going to go. Yeah. Right, because they don't feel why should I accept the correction when I don't feel accepted by you as a person?
Yeah,
and so, you know, there's an old saying, you know, love the sinner, hate the sin. It's maybe sort of the same, but I don't know if it's really the same. But
yeah,
because of that acceptance rejection mm-hmm. dynamic, mm-hmm. like yeah, there are things we all have things that we need to correct, do better at, repent of. Leave behind all of those things, right? None of us are immune to that. But if all we have is fix it, fix it, fix it, as opposed to, hey, I love you, I care about you, I accept you, let me help you, it's just totally different. And yeah. So I think if we're struggling, if someone has said to me, like, you're so judgmental, whatever, maybe ask the question, do I really love and accept people? Mm-hmm. Because when we do that, we're demonstrating godly characteristics.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we accept sin or condone sin, right? And that's a fine line. So I think, you know, accept the person before trying to correct the action or the behavior. Because in the other way, the other order doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There's probably a bunch of churches have this saying. There's a message I was listening to from a church in Florida, and that they had the phrase, you belong before you believe, mm-hmm. that they want everyone to know that they are accepted. Yeah. That's our prayer most nights for a youth group, is that the kids that come through that door, that they feel accepted. Yeah. We want them to know that they belong in God's family first.
Yeah.
Because it's not about earning or we'll love you once you fix everything.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not the gospel, right? No, the gospel is
you're Jesus, loved before.
Yeah. Jesus said, follow me, and then transformation comes.
Yeah.
He never told somebody, clean up your act and then come and find me.
Right. And that's how we have to do it. It's we love you and bring you in, and then you can become healthier because of it. There's a clip that's gone viral of this. Some big CEO, business owner, he's very fit, and he is doing his big conference with all of his people that work for him. And he said, I have a six pack, and everyone that works for me has to have a six pack too. That just shows, you know, discipline, everything. If you can't do it, then we don't want you. And you could see maybe like the, hey, I want people that are healthy, which sometimes you can be very healthy without a six pack. But people are just ragging on him online, rightfully so. Cause really we probably see this in different places where people work, and it's like, hey, like we like you and you're part of this family or whatever. And some works do like the okay, as a group, we're all going to do this healthy thing. We're going to do a step challenge, whatever. That's much more likely to end in actual health than someone saying, hey, you can't even be here until you're perfect.
Yeah.
Then once you're perfect, then we'll accept you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not realistic either, right? Because
right.
none of us are perfect.
Right.
No. So, you know, I think in this whole topic of judging or, you know, who are you to judge me? We have a responsibility one to another to uphold standards. And so whether you're a person of faith or not, we do have that mutual responsibility and accountability. And if someone is doing something that, you know, is clear and obvious, I think we have the responsibility to graciously point that out to them, or, you know, if it's a critical situation, to maybe in a more hasty manner point that out to them. But mm-hmm. we do have that, and we certainly need to be accountable for our actions. The opportunity to make judgments, especially when it leads to condemnation of the person or their heart or their mind or their attitude, that's mm-hmm. that's a much more slippery mm-hmm. slope. But you know, as a person of faith, especially if I'm trying to interact with someone, I have to have both truth and grace, and mm-hmm. I have to be able to communicate acceptance before addressing a particular issue. And sometimes that's hard to do, and sometimes people receive that differently, but that doesn't change our responsibility to try and do it the right way.
Mm-hmm. I think even just to piggyback off that, Steve, as we wrap up, I think wrapped up in all that, our responsibility to fellow believers and to people that don't walk with God is to introduce and to point people to the person of Jesus.
Yep.
And our actions and the judgment that we make, is it in line with his character? I think it's easy to tell our heart motives if it's lined up with his or not. And that starts with, are we spending time with him and allowing him to change our heart, mind, and actions as well?
Yeah, it's all about love first. Love first. Evaluate yourself. Evaluate your heart.
Yeah.
If you feel you need to call something out, you can definitely do that. But it needs to be out of love. Don't get caught up in the hiding behind the, well, I just listened to this podcast. They said that we are supposed to call people out. I'm going to start doing that even more. Yes, but love first. Out of love first. But we're glad that you decided to spend this half hour with us today, wherever you are. Thank you. And if you do have any questions, thoughts, anything, but particularly topics that we could be talking about that are meaningful to you, then email us podcast@victorchurch.org so we can get that. And yeah, we'd love to talk about those things that are meaningful to you. And even if you have a story that you would like to tell, maybe be able to bring you in, or know someone that would like to share their story. Yeah. Your lives are meaningful, and we would like to talk about that.
Sounds
thanks
good.
Again for joining us. We will see you in the next one.
See you guys.
Have Bye. A great day.